Is it time to finish the race? Let's talk about it on this episode of Pushback. If you're concerned about the direction our culture is heading, then maybe it's time to push back. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pushback. I'm Dr. Johnny, coming to you with another episode, continuing my series on really protecting our kids. I've talked a lot about cultural issues that are affecting our children specifically. I've been so bold to say so many of the things that we're deciding to do as a culture is actually killing our kids. That's how strongly I feel about this. And I know it's strong language, but I need to get the attention, especially of parents raising children in this culture and in this environment. And we need our eyes open to what is happening. And I spent the first quarter of this year talking specifically to parents and the things that we can do as parents to directly impact and influence our children. But there are other influencers in our society and in our culture, and I switched and transferred attention onto what I call pseudoscience. What do I mean by that? I mean, there is science. Science is a major contributing factor to our culture, and it should be. Science and technology has such an impact on what we believe and what we learn and what we discover. However, when it's pseudoscience, it usually is implying that actual science is set aside for an agenda or an insidious idea that is trying to be conveyed, especially to our children. That's what I want to talk about very specifically. I've hit on evolution, and I mentioned that I was going to be speaking to a local youth group, which I did last night. And I would like to say that I thought it went very well. They were extremely attentive. I just felt like their eyes were boring in as I was sharing the reality of what evolution is, which is not fact. It is not law. It is not a theory. It's not a philosophy, but a religion. It meets every definition of a religion because it requires way more faith to believe in evolution than it does in creation. Way more. And it actually defies so many scientific principles and even scientific laws. That's why we're still talking about it. I used the example last night of gravity. Like, we don't still talk about gravity. There's not a lot of scientific debate over whether the law of gravity is right or wrong or real or in the Bible, because we can watch it, we can observe it, we can prove it over and over and over again. Evolution has so many holes, and it's such poor science that it's actually embarrassing to be teaching it as any kind of truth or law. And any well-meaning or well-respected scientist should at least talk about what it is. And if they're really honest, they would say it's actually a religion. It's a belief about origins and the purpose of the universe. And ironically, the conclusion that they make is that there is no purpose to the universe, which makes it a cruel religion. And so that was the punchline last night. I was able to look at these kids in the eye and tell them their value and importance and tell them that they were intricately created by a loving God with design, purpose, and destiny in their lives. And what a great privilege it was to be able to do that. I was super honored. It's interesting, when I spoke last night, the greatest gasp I had in the room, the greatest shock that I delivered, was the notion of worldview and how it matters, and how if we believe in evolution, how it actually changes our thinking and the way that we actually approach other people. And I explained about Darwin briefly, and I'm going to talk about that a lot on this podcast. But I also mentioned Hitler. Hitler believed that the Aryan race was a higher evolved race and thus justified the genocide of those that he considered less superior. And when I mentioned Hitler, everybody gasped as the obvious byproduct of an evolutionary mindset, of a humanistic evolutionary mindset. And so I want to talk about that because we hear the term systemic racism so often in our society. Systemic racism is a reference to the systems in place that create and maintain racial inequality in nearly every facet of life for people of color. There's a great irony here when we talk about our education system, when we talk about our science teachers in high school and professors in college. There's a great irony in the fact that they are, in my opinion, the greatest propagators of systemic racism more than any other teachers or educators. Because they are actually creating and instilling and imparting and brainwashing children into believing their godless religion. And the byproduct of that is the hopeless, purposeless, anxiety-filled depression generation that we're seeing now. Pseudoscience is literally killing our children because this isn't real science. They can't, with a straight face, say that this is provable science. And I mentioned a little bit about that. And there's a lot of topics I talk about in this podcast where I say I'm not going to go into the weeds on this. I really do want to go in the weeds on this topic because we need to know scientifically with evidence and with proof of what we're really talking about here. But I want to touch on this idea of racism in regards to what's being taught to our children every day in high school science class. If the idea of evolution is being propagated, then we have to go to its roots and find out what it means. And we also have to understand the byproduct of the understanding of what it means. That was kind of a circuitous sentence, but there's something that can have meaning, but then there's actually a result of that meaning if you buy into it and if you believe it. And I believe in our education system, there is something more deep, something very sinister that's taking place that's actually propagating systemic racism. When we talk about the systems in place, I would submit to you that our education system is one of those systems in place that maintain racial inequality in nearly every facet of life. And Darwin believed it too. The word insidious means proceeding in a gradual, subtle way, but with harmful effects. It's exactly what's happening right now. And parents, we need to have our eyes open. Let me read this paragraph. Darwin didn't hide his view that his evolutionary thinking applied to human races as well as to animal species. The full title of his seminal 1859 book was On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. We always talk about it as The Origin of Species. There's quite a long title that is attached to that, which should get our attention. He followed up more explicitly in The Descent of Man, where he spelled out his racial theory. Quote, the Western nations of Europe now so immeasurably surpass their former savage progenitors that they stand at the summit of civilization. And, quote, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races through the world. These are direct quotes from his book. February 6, 1862, he stated, it is very true what you say about the higher races of men, when high enough, replacing and clearing off the lower races. In 500 years, how the Anglo-Saxon race will have spread and exterminated whole nations, and in consequence, how much the human race views as a unit will have risen in rank. This makes sense from an evolutionary mindset. For Darwin, racial superiority was, quote, survival of the fittest. Darwin believed that this was confirmed in the science of craniotomy. The idea that races could be ranked by measuring the cranial capacities of the respective skulls. My friends, this is creating a mindset. A mindset about our culture that actually it puts systems in place to create systemic racism. And it's the very education system that's actually the main propagator. Charles Darwin from The Descent of Man, quote, "At some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of men will almost certainly exterminate and replace throughout the world the savage races. At the same time, the anthropomorphous apes will no doubt be exterminated. The break will then be rendered wider, for it will intervene between man in a more civilized state, as we may hope, than the Caucasian and some ape as low as a baboon. Instead, as of at present, between the Negro or Australian and the gorilla." Boy, that is not read very often. That quote isn't brought up super often when talking about evolution. Charles Darwin, quote, "I could show fight on natural selection having done and doing more for the progress of civilization than you seem inclined to admit. Remember what risk the nations of Europe ran, not so many centuries ago, of being overwhelmed by the Turks, and how ridiculous such an idea now is. The more civilized so-called Caucasian races have beaten the Turkish hollow in the struggle for existence. Looking to the world at no very distant date, what an endless number of the lower races will have been eliminated by the higher civilized races throughout the world." Jonathan Glover wrote in Humanity, A Moral History of the 20th Century, wrote, "Social Darwinism had continued to flourish in Germany. Together with Mendelian genetics, it was highly thought to provide a scientific basis for the eugenic racial hygiene movement." Well, we know what came of that. We know the byproduct of that. In an article written by Phil Moore titled "What Your Biology Teacher Didn't Tell You About Charles Darwin," he wrote, "Christian reformers had spent decades in the early 19th century teaching Britain to view non-European races as their equals before God. In a matter of years, Darwin swept not only God off the table, but also the value of people of every race with him. When the Melbourne Review used Darwin's teaching to justify the genocide of indigenous Australians in 1876, he didn't try to stop them. When the Australian newspaper argued that the inexorable law of natural selection justifies exterminating the inferior Australian and Maori races, and that the world is better for it, since failure to do so would be promoting the non-survival of the fittest, protecting the propagation of the imprudent, the diseased, the defective, and the criminal. It was Christian missionaries who raised an outcry on behalf of this forgotten genocide, and Darwin simply commented, I do not know of a more striking instance of the comparative rate of increase of a civilized over a savage race." Where was that quote in my high school biology text? Charles Darwin, who argued from a belief in a godless beginning to the universe that natural selection is a virtue, and that consequently acts of genocide are part and parcel of the way the world was always supported to be. And why would humans be any different from animals? See, there's something at the very root. There's a sinister piece here. Now, you may say, well, sinister or not, this is science. But I'm going to just be spending several weeks on the fact that this is horrible science, this is racist, and this has propagated the idea of racism in our children's minds more and more. We're seeing right now these riots on college campuses. And we see it over and over again, even the anti-Jewish, the anti-Zionist movements that are still happening today, less than a century apart from the Holocaust. Why is it happening? Why aren't we getting better? Why, with all of the news and the talk and the riots and the court cases regarding racism, why aren't we as a society, quote unquote, evolving into a more understanding and less racist society? It's because there's something in the fabric of who we are that is actually taught to us in the basic notion of biology and science in our science classes that is actually teaching us to be racist. When you talk about something that's systemic, it's something that's taught very early on, that we are actually formed from a primordial soup without any purpose or meaning in life. And that if I'm higher evolved than you, or I perceive that I'm higher evolved than you, then I have the right to not only see you as inferior, but ultimately create a doctrinal truth around the fact that I could wipe you off the face of the earth as a natural progression of biology. My friends, this is sinister, and it's a problem that we need to have our eyes opened. We need to see this, parents, and we need to be out in front of this, and we need to unwash our children's brains when they come home from school. We need to go through their textbook, and we need to challenge the scientists who are teaching this crap. They need to be challenged. Now, there's something else sinister at play, because these science teachers are under the microscope by those above them wanting to propagate this religious doctrine. And if they want to keep their job, they need to keep waving the flag of doctrine. They're going to lose their job. They're going to lose their grant money. They're going to lose their position. They're going to lose their tenure. They're going to lose all of these things that they've worked so hard for. Whether they actually believe it or not, whether it's good science or not, there's something that's being propagated through a godless religion, and it's enveloping science, which makes me upset. I hope you can hear this in my voice. I'm upset because I am one. I am a scientist. And we need to be truthful. At the very heart of science is about truth and about evidence, about experimentation and about discovery. That's at the very heart of what we're taught. And it needs to be defended. And for those who believe that they have no choice, if those who believe that they can propagate something that isn't steeped in reality, then they need to be challenged. There needs to be courage to push back. That's what this podcast is about. So let me give you some questions that you can ask a biology teacher. You can write these down. You can share them with your students. I mean, students and parents. Number one, do you teach Darwinian evolution? Why or why not? Ask them that question. Darwinian evolution is exactly what I just read. And they need to defend it. You don't need to defend creationism, because that's not what's being taught. They need to defend it. Number two, do you agree with his scientific position on races? And don't lead them, don't tell them what his position is. Just ask them if they believe in it. Because if they're evolution flag wavers, they'll just say, well, sure, there are different races that have evolved over time. And see if they agree with his scientific position about some races being higher than others. Number three, do you agree that natural selection is a virtue and that consequently acts of genocide are part and parcel of the way the world was always supposed to be? Make them defend and challenge these basic truths of evolution. And how is human evolution different than the rest of the animal kingdom? See if they believe it's any different. And number four, do you teach the scientific findings of the Human Genome Project that concluded that there are no races? Why or why not? Because you just made them actually have to declare whether they even believe in races at all, because scientifically, there's no evidence for them. Biblically, there's no evidence for them. In Acts 17, it says, God who made the world has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings so that they should seek the Lord. One blood. We are one blood. We believe we're all descendants of Adam and Eve, and guess what? The Human Genome Project says we're exactly right. We believe ultimately we're all descendants of Noah off of his ark. And all scientific evidence points to a worldwide flood and a catastrophic finding in the evidence of what we study. It's all there, my friends. And the magical mystery of evolution is rotten science. And because of that, it needs to be challenged. If we don't stand up and say, hey, there's something wrong here, or is this what you believe? You need to have them say out loud actually what they believe. And so that we can get to the root of some of these issues. Racism is a real problem in our society. It's a real problem in our schools. It's a real problem in the fabric of our nation. And I don't know if you noticed, it doesn't seem to be getting better. Why is that? Because inherently deep down inside of our children and the generation that I'm speaking to very specifically this year, in their fabric of what are they being taught, is that there are different races and there are some superior to others. And because of that, there's a justifiable action, a biological action that can take place to reduce others. That's what we see. I'm not the only one that can connect these dots, right? Don't others see this as well? Well, parents, you're now informed, you're educated. These are critically important questions. And we need to push back and be on the front line of all of these. Hey, would you go to gofam.org and check out our website and the resources that we have for you and your family? And please share about this podcast and the importance of the message. I saw it in the kids' eyes last night. It's so important to this generation to understand what the truth is. It's so important to this generation that they can grab the Bible and know that it's true from page one all the way to the end. There's not one part that there's not one burden that they have to overcome from a science standpoint, not just because it's faith and we just believe that with God, all things are possible. It's more than that. It's actually what he has created, we discover. And we see that it actually lines up with the truth of the Bible. Even the ancient text of what it is scientifically lines up so beautifully. If you have comments on this, please go to pushback.org, and check out my website and leave a message or a question or a comment about this or any future topics. And if you have a future topic that you would like me to share, please send me those messages as well. I so appreciate your feedback. It's actually pushbackculture.org. I might have said that wrong. Pushbackculture.org. Please check it out and leave a message there. I so value your attention and thank you for tuning in. And I'll catch you again next week. So for now, let's go together to set and shape the culture.